You're listening to Drake in the Morning on 98.1 The Max.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Most of the people out there are f***ing idiots.
Hey, dumbass.
I'm in no mood for stupid.
Such an arrogant dumbass.
He really wanted to punch dumbass in the face.
I was two kinds of stupid.
Oh, don't play dumb. We're better at it than you.
Dumb ways to die. So many dumb ways to die.
Dumbass.
Try again, dumbass.
Dumbass of the day.
Moron!
Hello, it's Tuesday, the 9th day of February, 2016. It's Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday in New Orleans. I bet that's a big time there already. Today is the voting is happening in New Hampshire. Their primary is underway. What else? There's a big snowstorm on the East Coast. Around here, it's just cold. Today's high, maybe about 40. Today on the program, Kyle Vesey coming up from the mayor's office to discuss city affairs of the week. And about 8:30 or so, Reed Coleman, the author of the new Jesse Stone book, The Devil Wins. And a new series that is very, very interesting. If you like literature and fine writing, this guy is extremely good. The book is called Where It Hurts. And while it's not the feel-good hit of the season, it is transcended by just the remarkable writing this guy does. He is very, very good.
It ends up pretty well.
Yeah.
And the person or persons I was worried about because they were a bright spot in the novel about midway through, nothing horrible happens to them.
I was tempted last night to read the last chapter, but I thought, no, I just can't do that. And I rarely talk to any of these guys without having, consumed all the books. That's just the easy way out. But I'm not quite done with this brand new one, but Wes is. So we're somewhere. We've all read The Devil Wins, and we'll chat with him about that one and then his new book, his new series, with a brand new character. But first, the dumbasses of the day. Charles E. Robinson, old Chuck, was pulled over for speeding on Sunday. He was doing about 100 miles an hour in a rental car. Charles explained to the state trooper, Mark Gray, that he was in a hurry because he was traveling to get to the Super Bowl in time for kickoff. And that might have made sense had he not been in Pennsylvania, 2,800 miles from the football game.
You're going to be real late, buddy. Maybe
you're not
going to
make it, bro. You're not going quite fast enough. That was dumb enough, and the officer detected a strong odor of marijuana led to the car being searched and a bundle of marijuana and a scale in a bag. And Chuck was also, he had some warrants out for his arrest and he had a bad day and probably missed the game.
26-year-old Robert Dingleton did something, the story doesn't really say what, to get arrested in Irwin, Pennsylvania, not too far from that other guy. This is a small town. All of its offices are in one building. So the cops set Robert up in the mayor's office while they questioned another woman related in this case of whatever they did to get arrested. While he was in the mayor's office alone, Robert started poking around just to see what was there. He found where they kept the police badges. He decided to steal a few of them. So he did.
I love people like this.
And then no one realized it for weeks. No one realized anything had been stolen until someone else returned one of the stolen badges last month. Robert has apologized. He has returned the other three badges that he took, and he now faces new charges. But no one noticed. Who's the guy he gave it to who turned it in?
This is a small town in a trailer, right?
Just didn't pay attention and missed the whole thing. Nice going.
Joshua James. He's 23, and he lives in Florida.
Well, okay. Enough said.
His buddy works at Wendy's, so he decided he was going to pick up an alligator off the side of the road. He puts it in the back seat. He goes up to the window. He orders some food from Wendy's, and then he maneuvers the 3.5-footer from the back of his car to the cashier area, throws it through the window, and says,
"Why?
See you later, alligator." Oh, my God.
He threw it in the window and said that?
And drove off because his buddy works in there, and it was all a prank.
Did he pay for the food?
No, they handed him his drink, and he threw the alligator at him.
See you later, alligator.
A 3-foot?
Yes, he's in jail now because he said it was a deadly weapon. Wow. And the alligator safely was returned to the canal.
Okay, good.
Is there video of that someplace?
I hope wonder. To God.
I would love to see that. That would just make my day complete. Seeing a guy throwing a gator through a fast food window.
I'm looking it up.
This doesn't make any sense. This lady, 51 years old, in Falls Church, Virginia. She and her daughter, 18-year-old somebody, were going to, they were heading out of state to take her kid to college. The lady stopped at a Dunkin' Donuts on the way to taking the kid to school. After leaving the donut shop, where they had a nice healthy meal, I'm sure, the mom realized that she had forgotten her purse that was full of cash to pay for her daughter's tuition. That's the first red flag. They got back to the place, and the purse was gone, and the money was gone. The theft was captured on video, and police are now trying to find this lady. But the question, or the thief, the question, though, is who in their right mind pays for college tuition with cash?
Yes.
And what kind of college was it?
You know, the ladies of the night with all their $1 bills. They're paying for college.
Get a cashier's check.
That doesn't make any sense, though. This must have been a really tiny college at about $20 per semester or something. That's just insane. And a couple of quickies. This moron, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Police recently arrested Vaughn Tucker for marijuana possession. You know, let's just, you know, legalize the dank. Let's move along. They wasted time and they locked this idiot up. His mugshot shows him wearing a shirt that reads, "I would cuddle you so hard."
Nothing wrong with that.
He was released from jail quickly after posting bond. It says here, "Get out and stay out." And a Russian brewery has a new beer they've come up with called Therabeer. The pale ale has a picture of a red couch on the label, and it's 5.8% alcohol. The company says that Therabeer is an alternative to expensive therapists. A bottle a day keeps the therapist away. All calm down, my friends. That's on the label. Okay. So 5.8% alcohol would knock you on your ass, about two of those, and they suggest that it beats therapy.
I would agree.
I'm not going to argue about that. I really don't know. Each to his own. Kyle Veazey coming up today in New Hampshire. It's election day, primary. Big leads for Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump, although New Hampshire is known for its late deciders. So we will see if they are true to form today. This early voting town, it says here on this headline, has predicted the GOP nominee since 1968.
Well, we might need to pay attention today.
Yeah, we might need to watch this today. I mean, but the dynamic in politics has changed so much that it's hard to tell anymore what is going to they've just broken the mold on this whole thing. It's not predictable anymore. There's just too many things that have changed. There are too many people in this race. Well, there are 9 left that are viable candidates. And then you've got people like Mr. Trump, who is no doubt an interesting fellow. But then have you ever heard somebody running for president? Can you just imagine Ronald Reagan or someone of that stature calling some? This is what happened at a Trump affair last night. This lady yelled this out, and then Trump repeated it after she was done making her point.
She just said a terrible thing. You know what she said? Shout it out, because I don't want to. Okay, you're not allowed to say, and I never expect to hear that from you again.
As he covers his
ass. She said, I never expect to hear that from you again.
Sure.
She said he's a That's terrible. Terrible.
But of course he said it anyway and called Ted Cruz a P word that ends in Y. So that's pretty classy.
I was going to say, that woman's very classy. Any woman who says so yells well, that out.
Nice supporters.
There's a time and a place for you know, but just not during a race. I don't know. That's why I say that the entire dynamic is different, and it just lacks any kind of class or any kind of presidential quality that we are kind of used to. But maybe we need to shake it up. I don't know. But calling a candidate something like that, and Trump didn't have to repeat that.
No.
He did it on purpose. It was obviously he just thought that it'd be cute. And maybe it was. Maybe we're just all missing the point. So I have no idea. Sherry's Berries has great strawberries for the Valentine's season. They've been doing this for a long time, and they are a big hit every year, Valentine's Day especially. These are gigantic, and they are really, really big strawberries dipped in chocolate of all kinds, white and dark, and all kinds of little colors and swizzles and stuff on them. $19.99, and double the berries today for just $5. That is a really, really great deal. Go to the website, berries.com, B-E-R-R-I-E-S, and type in the code Drake in the upper right-hand corner. Don't wait much longer. It's time to get this done, and then they'll have them brought to your wife or your girlfriend or your mom or whoever your Valentine is, and she will enjoy them. They're just a unique way to go about this. They're big and freshly dipped in chocolate, $19.99, or double the berries for $5 more, berries.com, and type in Drake in the upper right-hand corner, and you will be set for Valentine's Day with some nice big chocolate strawberries, which will make your Valentine happy. So do that, and that'll be good. Or there's the Pro Flowers as well. We always mention them, because this might be a great combination, some strawberries and the flowers. Because roses, if you go to a florist, the prices on these things are ridiculous. And in this case, these are marked down to a very affordable price. Right now, 2 dozen assorted roses and the free glass vase for just $29.99. That is unheard of. Or upgrade to the long stem roses with a cherry red vase and chocolates for just $9.99 more. So this is for today only. They're offering you some extra money off this amazing deal today. So do it right now. Go to their site, proflowers.com. Use the code Drake, as you do for both these and Sherry's Berries. And today there's an extra discount of 15% off today only. So 24 roses in various colors and the great vase. Get them right now and get that done. Proflowers.com. Type in Drake and get the discount today. So Proflowers and or Sherry's Berries or both would be a very nice touch for Valentine's Day, which is this Sunday. Get it done and get it off your list. Check it off and take care of your wife or girlfriend or whomever and do it today. A little break. We'll come back and chat with Kyle Veazey about the affairs of your city, Memphis, Tennessee, in just a moment. All this Valentine's stuff is on Sunday, and it's all about the ladies and getting them flowers and or candy, which is great. Also, Dixie Pickers has stuff for men, because men need some attention too. They can be your Valentine very easily. Dixie Pickers would be our idea of places to go, or a place to go to get something for your husband or for your dad or whoever you want to be your Valentine. 2 locations, one here at Poplar and Yates and the old store out in Collierville. It isn't old, it's just the first one on the town square out there. They've got great sales happening right now. Pre-Valentine's Day, lots of money off on the Madison Creek Outfitters clothing, the Drake Shadow Branch camo, a new shipment of Maui Jim sunglasses is in, half off all the Martin Dingman clothing and shoes, half off Rivers West, and a discount on Mountain Khaki tops as well. So those are just a few of the things happening right now at their store as they prepare for spring, as we all are hoping, God, that we'll just, it can't come soon enough. Dixie Pickers for Valentine's Day for the man in your life. Poplar and Yates, the new store, the website, dixiepickersstore.com, to look at other things that they have to offer. Kyle Vesey is my Valentine for, well, he's always my Valentine. He's here from the, he's the deputy communications director for the mayor's office in this town. And he comes in on Tuesdays now wearing a tie. And to be, he's a tie wearing guy now.
I have to wear a tie because, you know, I'm clearly your Valentine.
Is it a clip-on tie? Let me see. No, that's
no, there's a real knot there. Okay, yeah, good. I had to learn that.
Well, so how are things downtown? Mr. Jim has been the mayor now for about 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So Jim Strickland is, I'm sure, up to his eyeballs from morning till night and then some, fending off new issues continually or dealing with old issues or all of the above.
How about both?
Never stops.
Eh? Never stops. You think you got one thing figured out, and then someone walks in and gives you another thing to think about.
Yeah, the issue that he ran on, and it's there's no escaping this, and it gets to be old news sometimes, but the crime issue in this town seems to, if you watch the newscasts locally or read the paper that you used to work for, it is an endless stream of death and destruction. And when you're, you know, short hundreds of officers, have an interim director, has to be a challenge. And then this body cam thing, you toss that into the midst of it. Is that the central focus of the day down there? I mean, it seemingly, it just has to be.
You mean body cams or that whole thing?
Just the whole thing, yeah. Just there's, yeah, what, 26 dead so far this year?
Like 27 criminal homicides.
It's just out of control, it seems like. And is it a shortage of officers? Is it just better criminals and more criminals, and there's just something wrong here?
I don't know. I mean, I think if you look at the actual, if you look at the stats, I don't think, I mean, if you look at the whole, all the crimes, maybe year to date, I think it's about on par as last
year. Yeah.
But that's no consolation for the 27, you know.
No.
No one wants to sit here and always rely on stats. You want to be able to bring those stats down dramatically, and that's what the mayor has said he wants to do, and you know, a number of years. It just won't happen overnight. And he is trying to find, in fact, I was in a presentation with him, oh gosh, what was it, Thursday, where he was talking about, you know, here's how much it'll cost to hire new officers. We need to do it. Everyone wants to do it. How do we get it done?
Right.
And, you know, he's trying to cross those hurdles every day. But to answer your question, the original question, crime is absolutely the number one thing he thinks about, maybe 1A and 1B with sort of our financial situation too.
Yeah, so where, so the, you know, it's, we're heading toward April, when the budget season begins. So that question, where does the money come from? You've had almost 500 officers depart in 2 years. You have a change at the top. And this money is always the giant in, you know, glowing neon lights question mark.
Yeah.
How do we do this?
I was going to ask you for some help.
I don't have any. I have no money or advice.
Danny probably has the money.
Maybe. No. She might.
I'm in radio.
Well, then we're out of luck.
It just does seem to be this. I mean, yes, it's a big demanding thing. But the answers don't seem to be flowing out of anybody's mouth or mind.
I think the thing that, if you are to presume that we're going to be presented with the same amount of revenue every year, which is not the right presumption, but I don't know where we are. Let's just say we're flat. Then I think what the mayor would tell you is he has to find ways to prioritize public safety within the current budget. And if that means shrinking other parts of government so that resources can be allocated towards public safety, that's something that he's always looking at.
Well, it must have been Shea Flynn last week who the comment was made, or has always been made, and it's no secret that we're going to have to make some choices here, either about raising taxes or, you know, things like that. It's just going to have to be done come hell or high water, and there's not really any point in arguing that issue. It's got to happen to keep these public services intact and on a, you know, some kind of a high quality level, and the police being on the top of that list.
There's a question that a dramatic shakeup, which I think was, you know, the mayor's words himself on Inauguration Day, is in store and is already happening to a degree and has to happen to some degree to carry on. If you were to listen to the mayor's sort of speech that he's carrying around to civic groups right now. It's this, it's called The Big Picture. It's here are all the challenges we face in terms of finances. Here are all the great things we have in the city and how they must work together.
Right.
But if you are to listen specifically for the 5 or 10 minutes he talks about the financial picture, and he's trying to say, okay, look, we all think we need to pay police officers, firefighters, maybe all city employees, but certainly the first two categories. Mm-hmm. We need to pay them more because we're having a hard time keeping them.
Yeah.
Well, here's how much it costs. 1% raise for all city employees in 1 year is $3.4 million.
And it to them is just a symbolic gesture and nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, 1%, 1% is better than no percent, but I get what you're
saying.
Is it? Yeah, it is, but, you know, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
And then you look at the things like, a third of every penny you pay in taxes goes to debt to pay off decisions from many, many years ago.
Right.
You start throwing those, I'm not going to repeat his entire speech, but you start throwing all those logs on the fire and you start to see just how
challenging.
Challenging's the nicest word you can say about it.
Yeah.
His situation is.
Kyle Vesey is here, and as you say, there is no obvious answer, and there is no answer that's going to come in a day or a week or a month or a year. This is a big picture project.
Yeah, I mean, if you were just to take the police staffing issue as its only thing, and we've talked about it here in this chair, you have a police academy class that maybe starts out with 100, and because it's tough, because we need it to be tough,
right?
It gets to 50, it gets to 45, whatever it may be,
then
right?
15, yeah.
And then, let's say you graduate 50 new recruits, and that's great. Does it offset the number who have retired or who have left for whatever reason? You know, a lot of people associate those departures specifically with the quote-unquote benefit cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure it's that cut and dry. I mean, some people were just going to retire anyway, right?
Yeah.
But when you start, you know, you have a police academy class and you feel good about the 50 that you graduated, and then, you know, you wonder, are you still keeping your head above water? Or do you have two police academy classes? I think the previous mayor did that last year or year before.
Yeah.
Do you have three? I mean, where's the capacity in the police academy class? I mean, you start really getting into the weeds of what that issue is. And you find out that getting the police staffing level back up to, you know, let's say 2,300. I know most people say 24, maybe 25.
Yeah.
But even if you were to split the difference and say 23, which is a big gain, you're talking many more weeks of you and I talking about that before that happens.
And serious money. And so where did the talk about the PST guys coming back to take the weight off of the MPD and take care of some of these fender benders in Midtown and things like that, so these guys can really go out and fight crime and stop having to go to every little, you know, wreck that happens on these streets every day.
That's happening. I mean, they put out the call 2 weeks ago for applicants for that. The police department did.
How many do they wish to hire, and what do they start out making?
You know what? I feel like I've heard that number and I don't remember it, so I'm not going to mislead you. I know that they probably, I mean, they wind up making whatever is, you know, a step below the usual officer salary, but I don't know that number at all.
But it's a start.
Oh, sure. And it's the kind of start that could lead to,
right.
You know, being a commissioned police officer.
Which seems like that would be a pretty smart way to do the process, but they have to have some training as well, I assume. They don't just walk in there and get their uniform on and go out and start.
Yeah, you don't just show up to the first accident you see and say, all right, what are we going to do here? Here's a scratch pad of paper. I'm going to write you a citation.
Well, it just is one of those challenges that is not going to ever leave the conversation. And it's only been 5 weeks since, you know, Jim became the mayor. So you can't really point fingers at him or anybody down there about this. But it is one that sure does get your attention when you watch and see it's the ninth day of this month and we got 20, you know, it's just, it never ends. It's unfortunate. Mr. Rawlings is out there pressing flesh, I take it, and being quite public.
Yes.
And talking to civic groups and media people and all of that and trying to put a rosier picture together or just trying to be available.
I think more of the latter. I mean, yeah, rosier picture, but he starts already with a fairly rosy picture. I mean, we have a very talented police department with a lot of tradition, and his goal is to sort of say, hey, remember that? Let's remind ourselves of that, too, first off. But I think also just to be accessible, to be open, to tell the public, we need your help. You know, we need, I think he's probably said, you know, we need your help. We need your prayers.
Yeah.
And he has really been out front and seeks it out and will talk to anyone, will do about anything. I mean, he's really, he's out there.
He seems to have a real passion for this. And he has mentioned Blue Crush and trying to revive some of those theories that maybe were let go for a couple of years. But it is the ongoing issue in this town, one of many. The mayor has also said that, well, there are two things downtown. This Bass Pro Shops parking garage revelation, as it's called here in the newspaper by Ryan Poe. How big of a deal is this? It came up and was turned into like it was the end of time, but it's a garage, for God's sake. And Bass Pro seemingly overlooked it as well as the government did, and nobody really seems to care if it's there or not.
It's in the contract that if certain thresholds are met, the city would be required to build them a garage. The mayor's stance on that is, and I think he actually said this in the interview, he says it's a media-driven story or something like that.
That was my impression, too.
That if and when this happens, it's probably long ways down the road. And the hope is that if and when it happens, that the actual funding source to pay for it would be, you know, something generated by their own revenue down there. And
sell some fish, maybe in the pinch area.
Probably something like that, or more elevator rides to the top.
That, yeah.
Have you done that yet, by the way?
I have not, sir.
Are you don't like heights, or you just don't?
I don't like,
you
don't going like people? Anywhere. I don't like people.
Okay, that's, if you don't like people, then getting in an elevator would be a challenge.
Misanthropes don't really
I understand
mingle.
I get with you.
Yeah. So this is not a big deal, and nobody cares.
Well, I don't know that it's not
cares,
a big
is
deal.
A, but
it's not something, if you were to look at the list of things that Mayor Jim Strickland has in his desk,
yeah.
Bass Pro Garage is probably not the top one.
This is not top 10. It seems to be rather silly, and it's hard anymore as the media gets worse and worse at its job to figure out what is important and what is not.
It was a burn right there.
Well, geez, we're part of it, but I mean, it's just enough already. Kyle Vesey is our guest from the mayor's office. The Mud Island Project continues to be one of these things that lingers in limbo with four or five people offering bids. Or have they, in fact, offered any bids? But the mayor says that there'll be no city money for this. Y'all knock yourself out.
Yeah, pretty much. I think that sums up what he says. I think what they've done is they've submitted outlines of what they'd like to see happen down there. And maybe the next step is to sort of prove that, you know, that each entity can get it done financially.
Yeah.
Again, they're dealing with the Riverfront Development Corporation, which is, you know, has independence, although works under some funding from the city of Memphis. So it's not exactly like all of this is coming to the mayor's desk every day. His belief is that, you know, the RDC will pick one of the five proposals, or maybe they pick none. I don't know. But whatever they decide in terms of the future of Mud Island, that's when the city and the mayor's office would get involved. And I don't know if that involvement, well, in fact, he's said that involvement would not include city money because we don't have a whole of it lying around, whole lot of it lying around.
Mm-hmm.
But to some degree, the city would need to get involved. It's our land. It's our thing. So, but he's letting the RDC figure that out first.
So once in April, when the city council begins the annual ritual of trying to figure out how to fix the budget and have more money and things like that, does the mayor, who spent, he did his time down there. Does
did
he?
His time.
Oh yes, he. That's like serving a prison sentence. Does he go down there and get more hands-on involved with this, because he has to make it clear as to how this is going to have to work, like it or not, and there are going to be some tough choices. And that phrase has been used now in this town for 5 years, but now we're down to the nut cutting here, and it's time to get something done. And I hope that he would use the phrase nut cutting when it came down to it.
I know his speechwriter, and it's possible that that could
try to work that in if
see
you can.
If we can get that taken care of.
Just for me.
I'll see what I can do. Yeah, that's when he'll. I mean, he's. I think you're seeing from the mayor a little bit more hands on already with the council. Body cameras last week. When it came time to just update the council, he went downstairs. He went to the fifth floor. He sat there for the 80 minutes and answered the questions.
No fist pounding, just listening.
No fist pounding. No.
And just offering reasonable solutions.
Well, I mean, reasonable solutions, I think they're reasonable solutions. Others can disagree, but at the end of the day, there's no disagreement. It's straightforward answers to straightforward questions.
Yeah.
And I think the budget would be very similar. You know, the budget process is you present it on the third Tuesday in April, and it goes on for a couple months. So it's a back and forth engagement of dealing with 13 council members and various entities who, you know, want money and need money and everything. So it's a long game.
Hellish process.
I think it would be a pleasant process.
Well, but you're being optimistic because you have to be.
I'm being a nerd.
And I don't. So a couple of months is being optimistic.
Well, you got to have a budget by June 30th. And so he'll present on April 20-ish
April,
or whatever.
May, June. Yeah. So you got 12 weeks. You got
something like that.
Six meetings there and extra meetings and side meetings and drinks at Houston's.
And there you go.
You know, just various conversations from various people.
Maybe at Chardonnay. Although yes. I think Chardonnay's gone.
I don't know. I don't get out much. Well,
because we've established you don't like people.
Yes. Well, there are some that
you're a man
like.
After my own heart.
I do like some. I can name them probably on both hands. But well, it's you know these issues just don't ever go away, do they? They're the ones that were there when Jim came in, and they're not going to go away anytime soon. And there's no. I mean, there are just some things that are just not going to be fixed quickly, and government seems to always be in that list, and it's just a process that people get impatient with, but there it is.
But I think, was it last week that Shay sat in this seat and talked about, you know, government was designed to be a struggle?
Yeah,
you know, maybe. Because why would you wouldn't want one guy to come in and just say, here's how everything's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, there needs to be.
He mentioned Hitler in that conversation.
He may have. I don't recall that part.
Right.
But I'll take your word for
it. Yeah. he has less of a. He doesn't really care what he says anymore.
He really doesn't, does he? Well, he doesn't wear a tie anymore.
Which is very refreshing. He doesn't care anymore. No, it's great.
So ask him tomorrow if he owns a tie.
He does, I'm sure. But why bother? You know, I mean, he doesn't need to wear a tie.
That's true.
I mean, you have to go down to your little not office.
Closet.
And sit down there and be PC, and you are very diplomatic, and I appreciate your coming to see us. There was an issue last night about, I see that Mata is fixing to shake things up and change their schedules and try to act right, and they're trying to run on time just for grins like most major cities do. Is there any involvement from the city on that much?
Well, the mayor does want to, he wants to, just like everything he deals with, he wants to do something, but, you know, is there money to do it? But I think it is higher on the priority list.
That is always that.
But the Mata thing, I think, is higher on his priority list because he knows, you know, we need a better transit system in the city.
Yeah.
And he talked about that a lot during the campaign, too. They need more money, and we are one of the funding agencies for Mata. We're not the only. It is not a City of Memphis division, so to speak. They have autonomy, but they get, you know, money from us.
Everything seems to come back to getting money, doesn't
it?
It's just inescapable that there's going to be discussions and some bloodletting over the raising of taxes or something, because this isn't going to start falling out of the sky.
One of the things that, of course, I've always followed politics. I've always enjoyed it, but before I got into writing about it, which was about 2 years ago today, actually, when I moved over from sports to politics, I would tune out budget stories. You hear budget and you're like, snore, you know, budget. Meh. And then you get into it and you start writing about it. And then you start seeing things like, you don't immediately think budget when you think we need a better mass transit system. We just need a better mass transit system. Yeah. I can get behind that. I can get interested in what it takes to get a better mass transit system.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it comes back to money.
Yep.
And so these budget, quote-unquote, stories that before I became a politics writer that I didn't read all the time, they became and are now the most interesting thing by far about, A, covering government and now working in government.
Right.
Because you see, it is the root of everything.
Right.
We can talk all day long about all these things. I think everyone agrees we need more police officers.
Yes.
Yes. There's no, you know, I guess people can argue the pro and con. In fact, I know there are some folks who would argue the con, but let's just say everyone thinks that's a cool deal. There's no sort of social argument one way or the other on that issue or on any issue, but you got to pay for it. And so it all comes back to this incredibly dense, incredibly, yes, sometimes boring process of building a budget, yet it's the most important thing that you do by far.
Well, you know, just to take your own individual budget, you know, you and your wife have your life and your bills and you're trying to save your money, you know, for, you know, someday. Just the challenge of doing that for you and your wife and your family is hard enough. But to do it on this level of a city, I can just imagine the complications and the maddening moments of beating your head against the wall trying to figure that out.
And with different budgets and different funding sources.
That was the first thing I just thought of
state,
when you said that.
Local, federal,
when you said that, we've got what you and your spouses coming in, and you can put it pretty much wherever you want. But in the city, you've got it coming in different places. It's got to go out different places. Mm-hmm.
And you
it isn't a simple process.
You have your annual budget, and then you have your capital budget where you pave streets out of that, and you build things, and you buy police cars, and you pay debt on that. And, you know, it doesn't take too long to explain it, but it takes a lot to manage it. That's why I have. I thoroughly enjoy the time so far in the first 40 days of being a public servant. Mm-hmm. I've gotten to spend with Brian Collins, who's the finance director, the chief financial officer.
He must be a very, very patient man.
Very patient man.
Is he medicated heavily?
I hope so.
Given
the numbers he has to crunch, but just talking to him about, you know, these are real life applications of really dense things.
Yeah.
And so that's why I always tell people, you know, I care about the city budget so you don't have to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But there's some truth in that.
Well, it ain't.
Very little.
It's a minuscule amount of truth, but there's
not
a rooted in
a lot of line. But it's okay. Well, look, there's old Bernie Sanders. So today New Hampshire is going on.
By the way, let me tell you about Bernie Sanders real quickly.
Okay.
Do you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm? Have you watched Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Sure.
Okay. Did you see, I guess it was on Saturday Night Live, the Burn Your Enthusiasm? I didn't see that till this morning.
It was brilliant.
And I had to sit down laughing because I'm a big Larry David fan.
It was so good. It looked so effortless that they pulled it off
It was
effortless.
Wonderful.
It was really, really, really smart.
And by the way, your mayor, big fan of Larry David.
Yes.
Big fan of Seinfeld.
Well,
just so you know, a little thing to put in your hat.
That speaks well of him. What do you predict about New Hampshire, or do you pay much attention to it?
No, I do pay a lot of attention to it.
Trump and Bernie seem to have commanding leads in all this nonsense.
How can you go against that?
Yeah. Well, because that place is well known for deciding at the last minute and changing their minds.
And I thought maybe Rubio had the chance to surge there, but over the weekend.
He melted down. Something happened to him. But this is a good guy. This has been a year into this. What a, you know, grueling thing to put yourself through. Mm-hmm. And there has to be a moment when if you're not really taking care of yourself, you're going to just melt down on TV like he did and then take a lot of heat for melting down. So,
and this is where tomorrow morning you'll wake up and there will be, you know, other candidates who are out.
So you think that tomorrow will be kind of a day when a two or three might just say, enough already.
Yeah. I mean, not on the Democratic side, they're down to the two that they're going to have, but I mean, on the Republican
side, bring back O'Malley.
A couple more.
Yes. Yeah, well, there seems to be, it's time to thin the herd here. It's getting a little bit silly. Thank you very much for your time,
sir.
And best to the mayor and the staff. And I guess at some point we're going to have the police director come in, Mr. Rawlings, to discuss what he's up to. I think his people have reached out to us to come on here and to chat. So we'll look forward to meeting him.
He's a great guy. You'll enjoy getting to know him.
Thank you. I look forward to that. And thanks for your time. And we'll see you next week.
All right, buddy.
Kyle Veazey. And we'll see him next week. Coming up, Reed Coleman, a fine writer of the Jesse Stone books begun by Robert B. Parker. In 1997, Reed has written the last two. And the new one is out called The Devil Wins. It is a fine book in his new series. Featuring a former police officer. It's a long, dark, dark, and sordid tale called Where It Hurts. Those books are out in bookstores and elsewhere now. So we'll be talking to him here in a bit. Pro Flowers has this great deal going on. Valentine's 5 days away. For today, only an extra 15% off everything. Two dozen roses of various colors and all that in a free glass vase for just $29.99, or be a real hero and upgrade to the long stem roses with a cherry red vase and chocolates for just $9.99 more. Great deals, because roses elsewhere are going to cost you an arm and a leg. These do not. Go to proflowers.com. Use my code Drake, D-R-A-K-E. But today only, the 15% off is in effect, but today only. So let's get this done. Proflowers.com. Go to the microphone, upper right-hand corner, type in Drake, and you will have flowers for your lady on Valentine's Day, and she will appreciate it. Proflowers.com.